Welcome, foolish mortals, to another episode of All Hallows Always,
where one night of Halloween just isn't enough.
We are your hosts. I'm Jason.
And I'm Emily.
And it's not just us tonight. We actually have a couple of special guests with us this evening. Tonight we have Stuart and Cindy. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
There are 342 days left until next Halloween.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's getting closer.
Every week. A little closer. Tonight's episode, as we announced last week, we are going to be talking about phobias.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about them on the episode about the psychology of fear, but tonight we're really going to get into it and talk about where a phobia comes from, how they affect people, and how they can be treated.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a little bit of fun. Since we have special guests tonight, we've got a game for you guys.
Oh, goody.
So do you want to start with that? You want to start with the game?
Sure. Just to get you warmed up, I'm going to give you some names of some phobias. These are fairly easy. You should be able to guess them. These aren't worth any points or anything. Just guess. First one we have is ambulophobia. Any thoughts?
Fear of ambulances?
That's a good guess.
Good guess.
What about you?
Fear of walking?
Walking dead?
As a matter of fact, you are correct. It is fear of walking.
Okay. Being ambulatory, okay.
Yep. Yep.
Bacteriophobia.
Being afraid of bacteria.
There you go.
Germaphobes.
Kleptophobia.
What?
Kleptophobia.
Fear of having things stolen from you?
That's exactly what Jason said. It's actually the fear of stealing.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it still has stealing. Yeah. Okay.
And this is one of those that has been named more than once. Kleptophobia is its only name, but there are about three different spellings, including klepto with a K and klepto with a C.
Could be Russian.
Yeah. Dutch phobia.
Fear of Dutch people.
Fear of tiny wooden shoes.
Fear of tulips.
It is fear of the Dutch.
Fear of the Dutch, yes.
Microphobia.
Fear of microbes.
What is this, a fear for ants? It is fear of small things.
Small things, yes.
Mm-hmm. Nudophobia.
Fear of nude people.
Yes. It is the fear of nudity in general.
Oh, yes, well.
Obesophobia.
Fear of obese people.
Fear of gaining weight.
Ah.
This was another one that has another name, which I'm going to try to pronounce. This should also be fun. Pocrescophobia. P-O-C-R-E-S-C-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Yeah, Pocresco.
Pocresco. I don't know the root of that word.
I also don't.
That's weird. Great.
All right. So now that you guys are warmed up, I've got a test for you. First person to answer correctly wins the point. It's multiple choice.
Okay.
I'm going to start by asking Cindy for the first five. So she gets the first shot, and then Stuart has the chance to answer. And then for the second half, I will ask Stuart, so he gets the first shot, and Cindy can then subsequently answer if he gets it wrong. So, Cindy, angrophobia. Is it A, the fear of anger or becoming angry, B, the fear of fishing poles, or C, fear of being alone?
Agoraphobia is the fear of going out and being among people. Angrophobia. I'm going to say it's fear of being alone.
Okay. You are incorrect.
Oh.
I'll go for A.
A.
A, fear of being angry or becoming angry. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was
that
my
is
first
correct.
Guess.
Angrophobia.
Go for the obvious.
So the point goes to Stuart. Cindy, antelophobia. Is it A, fear of antelopes, B, fear of tiny objects, or C, fear of floods?
If I go for the obvious A, I'm going to be wrong.
That is incorrect.
It's C.
C.
The fear of floods is correct.
That was... Oh, I'm a great second answer.
Okay. Third one. Dementophobia. Is it A, the fear of dementors? You know, like from Harry Potter. B, the fear of insanity. Or C, the fear of hospitals?
The fear of insanity.
That is correct. So we've got right now 2 points for Stuart, 1 point for Cindy. Cindy, your next one is gamophobia. Is it A, fear of marriage, B, fear of cats, or C, fear of French people or French culture? It's gamophobia.
Spell it.
G-A-M-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
I don't know why, but I'm going to say fear of the French.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Stuart.
So what were the other two?
Fear of marriage or fear of cats?
Marriage.
It is the fear of marriage. Nobody in this room
has gambled. I was afraid you were
going to say that. How do you know all these fears?
He's a scared guy. What
he's frightening me.
Terrified throughout the Nine Kingdoms. Okay, your last one, Cindy. Leucophobia. Is it fear of mild temperatures, fear of mice, or fear of the color white? And it is leucophobia. L-E-U-K-O-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Fear of mice.
Stuart.
So what were the other two?
Fear of mild temperatures or fear of the color white.
Mild temperatures.
You're both incorrect. It is okay. Fear of the color white.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So as it stands now.
Blancophobia.
It may have another name.
So as it stands now, we have 3 points for Stuart, one point for Cindy. So Stuart, you get to answer first on these. Omphalophobia. Fear of belly buttons, fear of names, or fear of alligators. Omphalophobia.
Names.
That is incorrect.
Good.
Belly buttons?
That is correct.
Yay!
That's 3 points, Stuart. 2 points, Cindy. Pagophobia. Fear of paganism, fear of frost or ice, fear of paper bags. Pagophobia.
Let's go for A.
That is incorrect.
Good.
Cindy.
It's either frost or paper bags. Okay, I'm going to say paper bags.
That is incorrect. It is the fear of ice or frost.
I knew that. I was just afraid to say it.
Oh, I see. Stuart, porphyrophobia. The fear of bloodborne diseases, fear of being afraid, or the fear of the color purple.
The movie with Whoopi Goldberg?
No, not the movie. The actual color.
The actual color.
Because I have that phobia.
Oh.
That was a good movie.
I'm going to go for C.
The fear of the color purple.
Yep.
That is correct. So it is 4-2. And your next question is textophobia. Is it the fear of fabric, fear of typing, or fear of frogs? Textophobia.
Fabric.
That is correct. 5-2. Tropophobia. Is it the fear of moving or making changes, fear of telling jokes, or fear of hot air balloons?
Hot air balloons.
That is incorrect. Cindy.
I'm going to say that it's fear of moving.
That is correct. So we end with, what do we end with? 5-3.
5-3.
5-3.
All right. My husband is,
you have won nothing. I apologize, we have no prizes.
I was afraid of that.
But that was fun all the same. You know your fears. Well done, both of you. Yay! Round of applause.
I don't know my fears.
Does anybody here have any phobias?
I do not like arachnids.
So arachnophobia, being the fear of spiders or arachnids.
Scorpions. Ticks, mm-hmm. Spiders, you got it.
Yeah.
And fear of heights.
I didn't know I had that one until I went climbing.
No, that one's mine.
Oh, no, that's also mine.
Okay.
Well, my phobia would be catceritophobia, is fear of cockroaches.
Yes, you do have that.
Uh-huh. And I'm, as we said on the episode about fear, coulrophobic is clowns.
Oh, I'm not wild about clowns either.
No.
I would probably cross the street if there was one there. I wouldn't run away screaming.
Yeah, no, I actively avoid them.
I think John Wayne Gacy kind of ruined clowns for all of us.
It's not clowns for me.
Or
Stephen
King.
It's mimes, but I'm not afraid of them. I think there just should be a season.
Hunting season.
Agreed. So clowns and revolving doors is the other weird one.
Yeah, that one's a recent one for you.
Yeah. I don't know where it's come from. I've not had any traumatic experiences with revolving doors or anything, and I don't encounter them all that often, but...
Are you afraid they'll turn on you?
They're always kind of nipping at your heels.
Yeah, it's just, this is a new revolution in my life. I actually was doing some research on it after the last episode when we talked about it. There is not a technical name for fear of revolving doors, but I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Well, that's an interesting point, because in researching phobias, I've found that a lot of phobias, especially the more obscure ones, are named in the medical community. A lot of times they have multiple names.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because, especially the more obscure ones, you go to name it, you look through medical journals, textbooks, can't find it named anywhere, so you name it something.
Yeah.
So a lot of phobias have 2, 3, even 4 names.
There's actually a celebrity who has a phobia of revolving doors, Matthew McConaughey.
Interesting.
Has the same random weird fear. So you guys each mentioned a fear or a phobia that you have. Are there stories behind that? Like, was there some sort of event that triggered this phobia in your childhood or in your developmental stage?
Spiders, yes.
Yeah.
When I lived in Florida, there was a winter that we had when a lot of Florida housekeepers, and Florida housekeepers are very large spiders.
Yeah.
And they just kind of moved inside in droves, and they would just appear in weird places.
Ooh.
And there's something about the movement of spider legs, the way they're jointed and kind of almost robotic.
Yeah.
And that just really creeps me. And so I don't like them. I think probably the only spider that I respected at all and could say, okay, that I can live without being too afraid of that spider is the tarantula.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so big.
So ludicrously huge.
That they can't get in the house unless you leave the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's fair. We actually did have a close encounter.
Yeah, we did. We did have a close encounter.
A tarantula. A particularly large one.
And that led to a completely different experience. Because I was dreaming about these giant spider, and Emily had it in my dream. It was like a stuffed toy, and it was giant and black. And she kept saying, "Can I have it? Can I have it?" And I was going, "No, there's no room in this house for that spider and me." So I told her no. And then in the next part of my dream, it was crawling along the ceiling.
Oh gosh!
And about the time, and I was paralyzed watching it crawling across the ceiling. And about the time that it dropped on my chest, my child walked into my bedroom and dropped her hand on my chest to wake me up. So I screamed, bloody murder.
Sent you through the roof.
My child ran out of the room and back to her room. My husband jumped out of the bed backwards, knocked over the lamp, tried to cut it on to figure out who was murdering his wife and child. Because that's the way I was screaming. And, you know, I had to get him. It's okay. And had to go find her and tell her that, you know, I'm sorry, didn't mean to freak out. And she was like, it's okay, mommy, just go back to bed. my child was very good at self-soothing when it came to certain things.
That's funny.
But
well, that was the point that we discovered that there's a reason there are no cat doors or dog doors in Texas.
In El Paso, at least.
Yeah.
To keep out the spiders.
Exactly.
And there were no stray cats. You saw no stray cats. And you didn't know if it was because the spiders got the cats or the cats ate the spiders and died or what.
We did have rattlesnakes out there.
We did have rattlesnakes. There were just no stray cats in the neighborhood, you know, so. But they were amazing animals because when this one had gotten, the one that I saw, had gotten to the ground, I could see it. And Stuart said, let me get a flashlight because I want to see it better.
Right.
And I turned to say, and a shotgun. And when I turned back, I could no longer see it. It was so beautifully camouflaged.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And because I couldn't see it, it had just left me feeling like, ooh, it's out there somewhere. And it was really large. Its body was really as large as a mouse. I mean, they're very, very large. So, you know.
Well, it's funny. The ones that you often see at the zoo or at the science center or
they're small.
In captivity, they're very small.
Right.
Comparatively.
Well, yeah. I mean, most animals in captivity are smaller than their wild relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like tunnel web and trapdoor spiders.
Yeah.
So they dig underground and they have their own little entrance and boom, they just disappear.
Yep.
You know, and you really are glad to have them because they kind of keep your yard free of a lot of bugs. But at the same time, they will freak you out the first time you see them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not, a tarantula really helped me kind of get over my fear of spiders because nothing ever looked big. Again, compared to a tarantula.
Sure.
But the scorpions, I never got over. And it's irrational, I know, because it's a very slow-moving animal. And you could just pick up a Kleenex and grab one and squeeze it and kill it. And, you know, it was nothing to kill one. But they were so foreign to us.
Yeah.
To see them just kind of freaked me out. And everything out there is dust color, like the carpets are dust color.
Right.
Because there's a lot of dust. So people paint their houses pink or green or whatever to give a little color. But your carpets are generally kind of dust color. And so you would look down and you'd see a spot or a thread and you'd go, is that a thread or is that a scorpion? And you had to get up close to it to see. And
right.
Half the time it would be a scorpion. Because they're dust color.
Mm-hmm.
So Emily had.
They often look like dryer lint.
Yeah.
A little piece of dryer lint.
One run across her hand, and you never heard such a scream in your
scorpions
life.
Scorpions are worse, because there's a penalty for.
Misjudging that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will sting you.
There's payback.
Yeah, they will sting you.
Tarantulas won't necessarily bite.
The females bite, I understand, and it's more of a pinch than.
Right. Well, their venom is not harmful to people.
The scorpion, where we were, there was only one bad scorpion that could really hurt you. Most of the scorpions that would sting you, the sting was no more than like a wasp sting.
Okay.
Which isn't comfortable.
Well, wasp sting isn't bad, but a yellow jacket sting is another subject.
Fair
enough. So, you know, a yellow jacket is not fun.
Well, so Stuart, what about you?
What about your altophobia?
Well, I said a fear of heights, but as I've thought about it, it's really more a fear of ledges.
Mm.
Okay.
Because I'm okay on a ladder. I'm okay if I have a railing. Mm-hmm. But if I have a ledge and nothing to hang on to, then I'm in trouble. And it's not just, I'm not in trouble if I see my wife, my daughter, anybody walking close to a ledge, I'm going,
Don't do that. I really attribute that to Wile E. Coyote, because all of us watched Wile E. Coyote when we were children.
Yeah.
And you didn't just fall and gravity took, you know, fell like this. And, you know, I could be on an incline. Where it caught me was we had scrambled down a rock face to this ledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big ledge, half the size of this room. And we're looking out over all the sides. And then we turned around to go back up the rock face. Now, the rock face was at 45 degrees. That is not a tough rock face to go up. So I'm scrambling up the rock face, and all of a sudden, I am paralyzed with fear. And Stuart says, what's the problem? And I'm going, I can't move. I'm going to fall. And he said, honey, if you lifted both your hands off the rocks, your face would hit the rock.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't fall.
You wouldn't go anywhere. And I'm like, I just know I'm going to fall. And in my mind, like Wile E. Coyote, I was going to fall from up here, go past the ledge and all the way to the bottom of the ravine.
Falling away from it.
There was a big gap there that you could fall into. But I was trying.
I would have slid down that entire 45 degree angle face and then out across 10 feet of ledge before I could have even hit that gap.
Yeah.
So, and that wasn't going to happen.
Well, for the sort of ledgephobia, which is not a real phobia, but I mean, not a real name for a phobia, but that sort of feeling, I definitely understand that. When Jason and I went to Chattanooga for our honeymoon, when we were at the Rock City, they have a lookout point where you can see five states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flat, and that is it. There are little concrete sort of...
Stop here.
Yeah, they're not more than a foot tall.
Yeah.
But it's not all the way around. There's 4 feet of gap before there's another pylon. And it was all I could do to get close enough to the edge to take a picture.
Those are their back turns.
Uh-huh.
The best example I can give you was on Pilot Mountain with a group of friends. We climbed to the top. We were going to rappel down the side. They were experienced rappellers. And
you're saying
these
they were repellent?
Guys, yes, they would walk to the edge and look over to see how precipitous the drop was.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
Nope.
I would not
but
be able to.
But when you put a 4,000 to 6,000 pound test rope around a tree and put it around me, I can go to the edge and I can go over that edge.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But without that rope, forget it.
Well, the same thing is true of me in that I have flown in airplanes all my life. I have no problem. You're sitting in a seat like mm-hmm. you are in a car.
Yeah.
You're looking out at patchwork landscape and little tiny people and everything else, little tiny cars, houses, whatever. You feel the height. But it's surrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you don't feel the danger.
Yeah.
So I know it's irrational, but all fears, all phobias are really irrational.
That's actually the definition of a phobia. It is
an irrational fear.
It is an irrational, not only is it an irrational fear, but in order to be a true phobia pathologically, it has to be debilitating in some mm-hmm. facet of your life.
Now, I will give you, my mother years ago was agoraphobic, not angoraphobic.
She was scared of rabbit fur?
She was stuck at home for the first 3 years because she divorced in 1949 and mm-hmm. people just didn't divorce in 1949.
That wasn't done.
So she stayed at home with her parents and she literally never left that house except to go walk to work and back, and that was it.
Yeah. And that's a lot for most agoraphobic people. They rarely even look out their window.
Well, she could do that. She had a routine. And Mom has always been a good person to follow routines. Mm-hmm. So if she had a routine, she could do a routine. But she didn't want to talk to people. She didn't want to associate with people. She was very antisocial pretty much during that time because she felt so shamed and so illogically stigmatized by divorce when
It was a different time.
Nobody but people in Hollywood ever got divorced. I mean, it was just not done. You know, people stayed married forever.
It was it was definitely a different time.
Phobias have been pretty extensively studied in the psychological field because they are very prevalent in our society, at least. Not all cultures around the world have the same level of diagnosis and the same level of documentation for phobias as the American culture does. Mm-hmm. But even with all of the research that's been done on them, there is still very little to show where they actually come from and why they develop. It's not really evolutionarily significant. Why in the world would someone need to be afraid of a revolving door? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to that. I mean, there are some that are more so.
People who have big imaginations see possibilities.
Definitely.
And so you can see the possibility of your scarf getting caught and Martha Grahaming you in the door. You know, you can see the possibility of falling off that ledge and not hitting anything till you're impaled on a you know, pine tree below. In your mind, you see, and well-read people also have big imaginations too.
Yes.
So.
Well, now, yes, I agree with you in part, but I can tell you when I see a cockroach, none of that is going through my brain. The only thing that I am thinking is I'm not really thinking. It's more of a paralyzing sort of thing.
You don't like how fast they are, for one thing.
And I mean,
and how persistent.
I'm basically sure that I'm going to die.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it's not even, I'm afraid that it's going to bite me.
Mm.
And there were
no cockroaches in your past. I mean,
I know it's going to get me if I get close to it, and I need to get as far away from it as possible.
Do you think you associated with that first apartment you had?
No.
No?
No, because it was before that. I mean.
Ooh, really? I didn't realize that.
It kind of gets worse as I get older, and I don't know why.
So there's a lot of research, and we don't know where they come from, but we do have a pretty good handle on how to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know the best way to treat a phobia?
It's confrontationally.
Face your fears.
Yeah, yep. Face your fears.
It is exposure therapy. Yeah. It's a kind of behavioral modification therapy, which is what most psychological therapy is.
Mm-hmm.
Phobias being a type of anxiety disorder, it requires you to experience the thing that you're afraid of. In the case of arachnophobia, which is one of the most common phobias in the world, I mean, you basically start out very small, where the therapist will say, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about a spider. You'd start off with that, and then the next session they would show you a photograph of a spider.
Right, and during all of this, your therapist would help you with relaxation techniques and help guide you through the relaxation technique while exposing you to your fear.
And so if you want to go back to that, my greatest fear was always public speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
When you're younger. Ooh.
Exposure therapy over the years has gotten me past that to a certain extent.
I will say that for certain people, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are terrified of snakes.
Yeah.
And I've always felt like if you're afraid of snakes, then just don't approach them. You know, stay away from them. But don't run over them on the road if you don't know what they are.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, if it's not going to be a debilitating part of your life, then there's really no need to treat it.
Well,
but something like spiders, that especially in an area like this,
where
there are spiders
deciduous
everywhere.
Trees and there are spiders everywhere,
mm-hmm. yeah, then that is something that you probably want to take care of, lest it become a roadblock.
My immediate reaction at this point is step on it and kill it. The other day I was vacuuming in my living room and there was a good sized wood spider. They're not hairy, about that big, all total.
The wolf spiders are the ones that aren't hairy. Okay. Wood spiders are web or tunnel web spiders.
Okay.
Wolf spiders are the one are hunting spiders okay. that move around. Okay. And they're the ones you find in your house.
The big and, cephalothorax and the little
and the
little
mm-hmm. yeah and the stripes down the back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, he was hanging out around my window, and I thought, okay, I'm going to leave you there. You're not bothering anything. I'm not going to step on you. I'm not going to vacuum you up. Well, I had women coming that night to play bridge, and about 20 minutes later, I walked through the living room, and he was now under the bridge table.
Oh.
So he's dispatched.
Yeah.
Because there was just no getting around it. I couldn't have him come crawling out and up somebody's foot, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of bridge or run across somebody's toe, you know.
Yep.
And I've had him run across my toe before. And
oh,
that,
yeah.
That is a, as a matter of fact, that was a very humorous incident. I was sewing something and I thought it was thread from my sewing machine. And I looked down a while later and there was the big hairy kind walking across the room. And I was trapped between it and the door, and Stuart was upstairs, and I was screaming for him to come kill the spider because I was not going to kill it because I knew I was barefooted, and it had already tickled my toes a couple of times.
When spiders tickle.
When Heather and I were sitting in the deer stand last week,
crunched,
trying to be quiet,
like it had bones.
All of a sudden she turned to me and was just going, and pointing to a spider that was crawling across her shoulder. And I helped the spider overcome its fear of
flying.
Heights,
uh-huh.
Of flying.
Yeah.
And just went,
and nice. It flew very well.
That's funny.
But I do think it's something about their jointed legs and their motion that really yeah. does creep me out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you ever want to overcome that fear, we can work on some exposure therapy, and eventually, down the line, we can get you to a point where you can actually hold one in your hand.
I will tell you that I believe...
The best thing to do is to go to the men's lounge at Pete.
No. Mm-hmm. I will tell you
that... And have the spiders hold your towel while you take a shower. Yeah.
I will tell you that I believe that my fear is healthy. I will just avoid them and we'll all be fine.
Well, I have to agree with you there. I think my fear is healthy. Cockroaches are disgusting little things mm-hmm. and they are terrifying, and I will continue to climb on chairs or tables or whatever is available. I'm pretty sure I have Spider-Man'd on the ceiling before to get away from one.
It's the fact,
while Jason kills them.
It's the fact that they're so
in other words, you
fast.
Take on the characteristics of what you're afraid of.
It's true.
Yeah, you
don't say that.
Well, I also feel that my phobia is justified.
Just stay out of those doors.
Ain't nobody want to get murdered by a clown.
It's true.
Yeah, nobody wants to be murdered by a clown. And like I said, John Wayne Gacy kind of brought that one to the head when he killed 64 boys. And, ooh.
And Emily had to go and watch that stupid season of
American Horror Story.
Horror Story.
It was an excellent season. And the clown is only in it for the first half. Spoiler alert.
There's just something about putting on a mask that lets people behave differently.
No, it's not just that. It's your face is obscured.
Yeah.
And you're playing with children.
Yeah.
It's the whole subversion
That's
of innocence
not okay.
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of what is terrifying to people is something that is supposed to be innocent
mm-hmm.
and good.
Yeah.
When in reality, it is vile.
Yeah.
And deadly.
Well, I think there's a lot of clowns that would say that they would take umbrage with that, but I just don't understand. There's like two different types of clowns. There's the happy clown and the sad clown. And I have never understood the purpose of clowns. I mean, they're supposed to make people happy
mm-hmm.
or entertain, but there's just that mask thing. Well, I will say the one thing I'm not afraid of is ghosts.
Nope.
And I've had plenty of encounters with those. So.
Yep.
I know a lot of people are terrified of ghosts. But we've lived in some interesting places. Who've had
We absolutely have. And we need to have an episode on that.
Yeah.
Because the two of you, Cindy and Stuart, you both have lived in some crazy places.
Stuart lived in a house that the man who left it didn't ever leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we rented a house, when we moved to El Paso, he told me that the woman that had lived there had committed suicide. And I thought, okay. That wasn't who was there. She was not there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man there.
Yeah.
There was a male spirit there. And even you had, you were 9 years old leaving that house. And when we moved into the next house, you said to me one day, it's so nice that it's just us here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody else here. I mean, the difference between walking in that house and walking in the house before it was just like having a 100-pound weight taken off you.
It was.
And even though one house was less convenient and smaller and, you know, whatever.
Well, as said, we need to have an episode on that in the future, so you guys will be returning guests.
To talk about ghosts.
Indeed.
Look at Stuart's face.
I have a phobia about speaking of ghosts.
Well, we're so glad that we could have you guys on. If you, the listener, couldn't tell, Stuart and Cindy are Emily's parents, my in-laws.
That's right. They're my mommy and daddy.
So we'll probably hear from them again sometime in the future.
I am claiming no responsibility for making you the way you are. You are your own person.
All right. Well, until next week, thanks for joining us. You can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/allhallowsalways.
That's right. We always welcome questions, comments, or suggestions on what to do in future episodes.
You can email those comments and questions to us at allhallowsalways@gmail.com. And catch us on Twitter at allhallowalways.
Be sure to check out another irrelevant but awesome production called Classy Ring Attire. If you're into all things wrestling, be sure to check them out. They're our sister podcast.
And follow all of our happenings on allhallowsalways.blogspot.com. The easiest way to keep track of us, though, is on iTunes. You can find us at All Hallows Always. You can leave comments on there. You can give us a rating of 5 stars. That really helps out with the data on there, and it kind of gets us publicized a little bit better. So do that, and we will catch you next time. Until then, good night.
And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All Hallows Always, an irrelevant but awesome production.